we praise you for this privilege, this opportunity that we have to come into the house of the Lord just one more time. Lord, we look about the world. We hear that people are dying because they decided to come together and to give you praise and glory and honor. Because we worship the only wise God.
Glory.
People of the world hate you, and because they hate you, they hate us. But Lord, let us continue to stand. Lord, continue to let us call upon your name. Lord, let us continue, Lord, to call out unto you. For we realize, Father God, that it is in this gospel and this gospel alone that men, women, boys, and girls throughout the world might be made free from sin. And so no matter what the cost is, no matter what they may take us to and do unto us, Lord, we remain faithful unto you, even unto death. And so our prayer is this morning, Father God, that through the word of God, that Lord, you would speak to our hearts, encourage us, exhort us. Lord, lead us and guide us. Make us a little bit better than what we were than when we came in.
Please, Lord.
Our prayer is, Father God, for those who do not know you in the pardon of their sins, that the word of God would go forward and move on their hearts. Have them realize that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Let them realize, Father God, what their true problem is. The problem's not one of food, it's not one of wealth, it's really not even one of having and not having. Unless, of course, you're talking about not having or having Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For Lord, when we have you, we have eternal life.
Yes.
When we have you, we have all that we need.
Yes, Lord.
For we realize, Father God, when we're about your business, you'll take care of our business. And so, Father God, our prayer this morning is that you open our hearts and our minds to receive that which you have for us this day. My prayer is that you would decrease me and that you would increase your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you. Oh, my prayer is, Father God, that you think with my mind, speak with my mouth. Let your words go forth with clarity and with power. And let them do those things that you've purposed them to do. Some to be exhorted, some to be encouraged, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of you. Now, these and all other things we ask and do pray in Jesus' mighty name. And we all do say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Be good and kind and turn with me if you will. We've been there for the last several Sundays, and so we're going to go right back to Romans chapter 1. And truth be told, I'm just going to give you a heads up. At least we're going to run through the rest of this chapter. Amen.
Don't run.
Okay, well, somebody say don't run. But we'll just keep going until the Spirit says otherwise. But for today, we're going to go Romans chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 18 through 20. Now, if you have your Bibles, wave them in the air, or whatever device that you may have, wave it in the air. And those of you who don't have a Bible, who don't have a device, amen, shame on you. Now, those of you who have a Bible, have a device, be good and Christian and kind enough to allow others to share with you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen, amen. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, you're in good voice. And so it reads on this wise. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it reads on this wise. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because of what may be known of God is manifest to them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
Right.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and doing of his holy word. For the past several Sundays, we have come to you from Romans chapter 1. We began in verse 16, and we talked about how Paul was just so on fire. He's all in behind the gospel of Jesus Christ to such an extent because he realizes that in the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God.
Amen.
It is the power of God for salvation unto all men. And then it went from there into verse 17, and then there in verse 17, he says, therein is the righteousness of God revealed. In verse 17, he talks about God's righteousness, God's justice, God's grace, all being revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then he says these words that even moved Martin Luther, and the just shall live by faith. That same faith where from my faith is spoken into your faith. And because we do so, you are then encouraged by from faith to faith. And that's why it's so important that we gather ourselves together, even on Sundays, but not just on Sundays, but whenever you have the opportunity or the chance to just to be in the presence of brother and sister Christians, you should take that opportunity. Why? Because the more, it's just like anything else, the more you hang out with folk who just like you or who want to be just like you, the more you become that which you seek. If you seek to be like Christ, then you have to be around people who are going to encourage you in that walk.
Amen.
For you to walk circumspect, to do those things that Christians do, you need to hang around some Christians that are going to push you to continue to walk in the way that you should walk. You need to have some friends that challenge you in your walk, that you just not happy being where you are, where you were last week, but you ought to show some growth maybe from week to week, if not week to week, then maybe from month to month. And at the very least, if you started drinking a pint, you ought to be down to half a pint by now.
Amen.
There ought to be a pushing of you to get a little bit better. Last week, we talked about the righteousness of God and how men want to compare themselves to God. It's just amazing to me how men would think themselves so righteous that they would compare themselves to an almighty God, a God who's able to do all things and do all things well. The last time I checked, I can only talk about me.
Right.
And truth be told, I don't do all things well. Now, I tell folk I do maybe 99.9%, right? But the truth of the matter is, I'm nowhere near 99.
Amen.
Amen. I drop the ball. I mess up. I rumble, stumble, and fumble. I drop the ball on a regular basis. I ain't going to tell you where they are, but I'm going to tell you that I struggle just like you struggle.
Amen.
So we have no business comparing ourselves against a unrighteous man doing unrighteous things against a God who is always righteous, who is always doing the right thing. He is perfect in all his ways. There is nothing that he doesn't do that he's not number one. He's not the best at. But the truth of the matter is that sometimes you fall up short.
Amen.
Sometimes you eat and you fall up short sometimes because you big enough to do it, you bad enough to do it, and so you just do it anyway. Knowing that it is not righteous what you do.
Right.
You fall on a regular basis, but praise be unto God, God loves us even though we come up short. Even though we're not always at our best, and truth be told, we are not always at our best.
Amen.
But because he is righteous, he must judge sin.
Amen.
He's not going to overlook your sins.
No.
But he's going to give you a way to take care of your sin.
Hallelujah.
As much as we sit up and we sing the songs, matter of fact, that men, y'all did an excellent job this morning.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. But every song you sang was about how much God loves us. You know what? At the end of the day, there's some things that God don't love. God don't love sin.
Amen.
Right.
He hates sin.
Yes.
Hates the fact that we find ourselves in sin.
Yeah.
But the gospel of Jesus Christ says this, so that we might be forgiven of our sin, he sent Jesus. He sent his son. And the sad thing about it is that every man, woman, boy, and girl will be judged by God for their sin. But he makes a way of escape. You either will be judged by him or you'll be saved by him. You'll either suffer his wrath
forever,
or you'll suffer his everlasting glory. There is no other choice in the matter. Matter of fact, the interesting thing I find oftentimes is that we'll go to the doctor, and the doctor will say, look, you need to do certain things, otherwise your health will be in jeopardy. Here, take these pills and work out on a regular basis, and it should improve your health. But what do? I don't want to wait in line to get the pill. I'll come back another day. And then when time comes, you know, you run out, you go to Planet Fitness or LA Fitness or some fitness, 24-hour fitness. You sign up, you take your good money, you put it down. You sign up for the program. They'll give you a card, take a picture of your face. Say, anytime you want to come in, your money is good here. Right. Come on in and work out. You wake up at about 4:30, say, I'm going to get up at 4:30 and work out.
Right. That's what you say.
You say, well, as soon as, you know, just let me get about 15 more minutes. And then 15 more minutes become 30 minutes, and then 30 minutes becomes an hour. And then so finally you say, oh, you know what? I missed the window of opportunity.
Right.
And so I'm just going to push it off. Oh, by the way, I got to go pick up them pills. And then you wonder why your health is failing, why you're not performing, why? Because you just, out of just sheer, I'm just going to be nice and say, out of sheer laziness, you just didn't get it. It wasn't rebellion. You just didn't want to be bothered. What you gonna do about Jesus? Jesus offers himself. He says, look, Dr. Jesus says, look, you got a disease that's called sin. If you don't, I ain't got no pills for you to take. I ain't got no gym for you to work out in.
Well,
but I do need you to say, I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth. The Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, you'll be saved from your sin. You ain't got to worry about dying in trespasses and sin. Yeah, you gonna rumble and stumble. Yeah, your life gonna be hard. Yeah, sometimes it's gonna hurt. But you ain't got nothing to worry about because your eternal soul is safe with me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
But you won't be judged for your sin. Well, now let me just give you this today, and this, if you get this, you'll get the sermon. The gospel of Jesus Christ reveals not only the righteousness of God, but it also reveals the wrath of God.
Yes, sir.
The gospel not only reveals the love of God, but it also reveals the wrath of God.
Yes, sir.
See, we mess around and we'll talk about how good God is, how much he loves us, and how, you know, how he sent his only begotten son to die for us, but then we kind of just kind of like stop after that.
Well,
and we don't realize that God is kind of God. He get upset. Not only does he get upset, but then he also is jealous. He not going to, look. I don't know if I'm going to say this like y'all can understand it. When y'all met that woman and y'all met that man, right? And you thought that that man or that woman was the man or the woman. If it looked like something was coming up on the horizon and looked like that was going to mess up your good time, you, folk better move out the way. Some of y'all would have cut folk. Some of y'all probably did. God is the same way about when you talk about when you love him. He said, I want your love, but I want your love exclusively. You can't be like doing like, okay, well, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you know, I'm going to love you, God. But on, you know, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, especially on Saturday, you know, it's going to be on and cracking. You know, I'm going to have my little drinky drink, and I'm going to do my little dancey dance, and you know, I'm going to be out there. But I love you, Lord. But I want to live this way.
Come on.
God is a jealous God.
Yes, he is.
He's jealous because he loves you, and he don't want nothing. He don't want nothing impeding or competing with his love for you. Sin competes for his love for you. That's why he hates it so. Because the truth of the matter is that sin wouldn't be sin if you didn't enjoy it. Amen. You turn down stuff you don't like all the time, right? That's the reason why you're like, ooh, chitlins. No, no, thank you. You know, maybe it's not chitlins for you. Maybe it's okra. I don't know. You know, I done told you the two things I will not eat. Don't be running them on Pastor. I'm like, look, I'm eating New Year's. Come on over and we having chitlins. I think like, you have them by yourself. God does not like sin because sin competes for his love for you. And because it competes for his love for you, he basically becomes wrathful. Now, the thing about wrath is this, is that it's a slow burn. It is not something that is impetuous. It's not like God just all of a sudden said, you know what? That was bad, and now you got to go. Because if that was the case, a lot of us would have been gone a long time ago. Oh! Amen. Look, I don't know if they even use the words ratchet or thirsty anymore, but some of y'all been ratchety, and some of y'all been thirsty. Amen. To the point where, you know, if I was, y'all ought to be glad that I ain't God. Amen. Look, y'all think you bad. I know me. I would have took somebody's air a long time ago. No air for you. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. First of all, unlike the righteousness of God, which is revealed through the gospel from faith to faith, the wrath of God is given exclusively from God. God allows his creation to speak to other members of the creation.
Right.
So that we might be empowered, engaged with one another, that you might get on fire because I get on fire.
Yes.
But God's wrath is such that he holds it for himself.
That's right, Lord.
Because when he's ready to pour it out, it ain't going to be pretty. God don't like, we say it all the time, God don't like ugly, but he don't care much for pretty either. When God's wrath, and there's only one time that we truly know that his wrath was poured out. When he poured it out onto himself. When he sent God, to die on a cross. Because his wrath needed to fall on someone. You couldn't handle it. It was a debt that you couldn't pay. So God had to send God the Son to die on Calvary's cross so someone could take on the wrath of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ contains the warning that God hates sin and he's going to deal with it for those who will not receive his Son. Secondly, however, unlike man's desire to compare his righteousness to God's righteousness, humanity dares to compare their nature against the nature of God. He says ungodly and unrighteous. And you know how folk are. Matter of fact, if you lived any amount of life, you know how ungodly and how unrighteous men can be. And he does this in a certain way. The Bible tells us that at our very best, we're no more than filthy rags. We don't even know ourselves. It's like, how many times you, like poor Peter, he said, Lord, I'll never deny you. And then he got so mad to one point, he said, Lord, I don't know about the rest of them fellas, but as for me, I will never deny you. Peter turned around and denied the Lord three different times.
Yes.
Never say never.
Amen.
Because you don't know your heart. You don't know what you will do until you get in the situation. Yeah, you can train up. Yeah, you can learn up. Yeah, you can even run with people who've been through the same situation. But until you go through it for yourself, you don't know what you'll do. You don't know what you'll do if you do it a second time.
Well, teach now.
Because your heart is unknowable. It is despicably evil. Desperately wicked. You know the worst we call among ourselves, we call them being inhuman. We execute them. We'll shut them up in cages. Throw them in jail. But God says that we're no better than they are.
That's right.
Because all sin flows from the same place. All the evil in the world come from the corrupt hearts of men.
Amen.
We would dare to compare our nature against God's nature.
How dare you?
And to prove his point, God the Father sends God the Son, who allows himself to be arrested by ungodly and unrighteous men. And Jesus tells us that all he had to do was call down legions of angels and they would come. But yet, to prove his point that our nature is an evil nature, he allows the ungodly to lay hands on the godly.
Yes.
He allows the unrighteous to lay hands on the righteous. These ungodly men will suppress the truth. In the Bible, it tells us that the Sanhedrin got together and they began to conspire. They lied about him. They spat upon him. They will slap him and they will beat him. This is Jesus. And the Bible tells us that all he did was go about it, do good. But all that just so that they would then lay hands on him, beat him, hit him, place nails in his hands, place nails in his feet. And all he did was good.
Yes, sir.
The wrath of God is revealed. The wrath of God is revealed in this manner, because what we made me know of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. Man is like God only in this manner. You only know about a person pretty much unless they tell you who and what they are. In the movie Coming to America, Eddie Murphy. Anybody familiar with the movie? All right. So I'm not talking to people who be like, I didn't see the movie. In the movie Coming to America, Eddie Murphy plays a prince of a foreign country. He's rich. He's successful. He has social status in his country. Matter of fact, he's looking for a wife. And matter of fact, as he's looking at these women to be his wife, he has this one woman come through. He starts giving her orders, tells her to bark like a dog. She barks like a dog. Tells her to hop on one foot. Not only does she start hopping on one foot, she's still barking like a dog. But just to show the power that he commands in his own country, his face appears on dollar bills there in his country. People fall at his feet in his country. People call him Lord and Master in his country. But he decides that he don't want a wife in his country. He decides he wants to go to America and get a wife. So what he does, he leaves all his glory, power, money, social status, and comes to America, and of all places, he goes to Queens, New York. Takes his buddy with him. Down they decide, well, we got to need a place to stay. So they live in a little ratty apartment. The way that, you know, I mean, it was nasty looking. Then he goes and finds a job. Now the job he finds is he's more than overqualified for. He takes orders from a guy who he should be giving orders to. And so he mopping floors, frying fries, slinging patties. Here he is, the master in his own country, working a menial job in another country. Now, as the story progresses, people come across him and they realize who he is. He tells them to be quiet. Tells them, don't tell anybody who I am.
Right.
And all the while, he's wooing this woman who happens to be his boss's daughter. And then all of a sudden, now he's not quite good enough because he's going, you know, against the guy who's dating the sister. And the guy who's dating the sister got a Jerry Curl. Y'all remember Jerry Curl? I know some of y'all do. Maybe some of y'all probably had one until your hair fell out. Or you shaved it off. Y'all remember S curls and all that? All right. Friends, this friend, all right. And so he found himself even being treated worse than this guy because he had some kind of contract where he was doing something for a major company. But it was certainly nothing about like who he was. And so at some point during the movie, the father finds out, the father of the girl he's wooing finds out that the prince is really the prince. He's not the pauper that he's laid on. But now he's trying to help the daughter do the thing, get into the relationship. But all the while he's wooing her, she doesn't quite realize who he is. You already know where I'm going. Jesus Christ comes to earth.
All right.
He didn't come with a whole bunch of fanfare. Yeah, the night that he was born, there was some angels, and they put on that show for like the shepherds. Now, if you know anything about shepherds in the first century, shepherds were, well,
you know about them.
They were kind of like Joe the Rag Man. People didn't care much for them. They didn't have any high status. So even though they saw what they saw and went about and noised about what it was that they saw, didn't nobody care because of where they came from. But Jesus shows up, and people, as he begins to live and go on this 33-year journey, people kind of find out here and there who he is, why he's come. And each time he tells them, don't tell nobody. Just like Eddie Murphy in the movie, don't tell nobody. And all the while, he begins to woo his bride.
Yes.
Who is his bride?
Church.
Where is his bride?
Yes. That's good, Pastor.
Jesus goes through the things that he goes through so that he might woo us unto him. We didn't go looking for him. He came looking for us.
Yes.
He found us where we didn't want to be found.
Right.
He wooed us, even though we were nasty and dirty and mean. He said, come on, I'll clean you up. And I'll take you home with me. And many of us are still saying, hold on, I like this mud bath.
Come on,
cast some more pearls towards me. Jesus says, I'll take you as you are. And because I love you so much, and I don't want you to receive the wrath of God, receive the love of Jesus. At the end of the Eddie Murphy movie, he marries the bride. In the end of this story, Jesus will marry the bride. The question is, will you be the bride? There is the wrath of God revealed. Men know who it is that he is. Because men revealed their true nature when they laid hands on the Christ. When they laid hands on the Christ, their true nature was revealed. But notice, God's true nature was revealed as well. Because God did not kill those men. God did not call down the legion. God allowed God to be beaten. God allowed God to be struck. God allowed God to die. But he died for us after having lived a life that we could not live. He died for us and then imputed the righteousness upon us. He pays the debt and then gives us the right to claim what it was that he bought.
Yes.
Maybe you don't get it. Somebody took you out to dinner, paid for your meal, and then said, it's all right, it's all good, you ain't got to pay me back. Not only did he pay for the dinner, but he also dropped the tip. In the end, your ignorance will not be excused.
That's right.
For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. There are two things, even if you are unsaved, that you can know about God.
Well,
that God is, and God is eternal. That no matter what it is that others say about him, he is. No, he was. He is. He forever will be. God is omnipotent. There is nothing that is beyond him. There is nothing that he cannot do but fail. He is not only all powerful, but then he's omniscient. He knows all things. He knows what you know and more than what you know.
Yes.
Because everything that is was created by him.
Yes. And for him.
And then it's him that keeps everything going.
Yes.
You ever wonder why meteorites just don't take us out? Amen. Yes. Just this week there was a meteorite that said that was so huge that if it had hit the earth, it would have took us out. But as soon as it hit the firmament, now those of y'all who were here in Bible study on Wednesday, you know what I'm talking about. And this happened even before Bible study. They said there was a meteorite that was big enough to take out a city, came into the atmosphere and blew up. It hit the firmament. And the firmament was created by God for just that very purpose.
That's right.
God saves you from dangers seen
and unseen.
Amen. You ain't got to get happy. You just need to know that God is.
Amen.
And God is able to keep you. Amen. Not only is he all powerful, not only is he knows all things, but then he's in all places.
Yeah.
You know one thing that used to blow me out of the water is that God can hear you pray, me pray, all in the same room at the same time.
Yeah.
I get confused when two people talk at the same time. God hears everybody in the room, and you know the truth of the matter is that we all ain't praying for the same thing. Some of y'all are even praying against stuff that we want. Nobody in here. But he hears your prayer, he hears my prayer, and at the same time, there's a church down the street, and he hears their prayer.
Yes.
There's a hospital on the other way. There are people inside that hospital. They're calling out to him, and he hears their prayer.
Yes.
There are people on the opposite side of the planet, and they're praying at the same time. And God is able to hear each and every one of our prayers and answer them all individually.
Amen.
I don't know about you. It's difficult with just two. And if you add Miss Evans to the mix, there's three. I can't handle all that. I tell him, I say, y'all stop. I need one person to speak at a time. And even then, I have to have them go back and go over it because I'm still trying to follow the argument.
Right.
God don't ever ask you to go back and read through it. He knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart.
Amen.
Even before you open your mouth and start asking him for whatever it is, he already knows what it is that you're going to ask for.
Amen.
But he's going to normally give you what you need.
That's right.
Because oftentimes the thing that we ask for is not the thing that we need.
Amen.
And oftentimes we're asking him for wants instead of the things that we need.
Yeah.
How are you going to ask him for a Mercedes and you need a job to go to keep it? Maybe that's just me. You're going to ask him for a better car and you can't keep up the Nissan you got. Okay, maybe I'm talking to the group that already got. You got everything that you need. But you know what? God is good because not only will he answer your needs, but he will attend to some of your wants.
Amen.
Because he's just a good dad like that. I was sitting in the mall the other day. I had to go buy another pair of glasses. Why do you mean, Pastor? You need another pair of glasses? Yeah, I need another pair of glasses. So I'm sitting there in the store, and it's the glasses. Anyway, they make the glasses in about an hour, right? So I'm sitting in the store, and I'm just looking at the people in the store because I just like to watch people because people are interested. Anywhere that people are, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to watch it. And not because, you know, because y'all, people are entertaining. I mean, I get a cup of coffee and I'll just sit and watch y'all. I ain't even got to do nothing, just watch. Case in point, there's a dad and a kid sees this little toy kiosk. And the toys are going, and you know, the people be slick, right? Because they, some of the toys they turn on, and they know, like, the parents don't care nothing about them, but them kids. And sure enough, here's a little toddler. He 2 years old. He see the toys, and he start pulling on the daddy's hand. Like, we going to go over to the toys. And he like, no, we ain't going over to the toys. He said, no, we going over to the toys. And then he start pulling his hand, right? Like, let me go.
Yeah.
Like, you 2 years old. What are you trying to run? He get free and he run. I'm like, and the daddy's like, what? So he run over there with the kid, right? And the kid over there, his eyes is all big, and he grabbing on the toys and he playing with him. And the daddy's sitting there going, I ain't come here to buy no toys. You know, you just got that look. You know how parents have that look like, I ain't come here to buy no toys. But the little 2-year-old, he's steadily there, and the daddy, you can see him getting broke down. That little 2-year-old, like, how you do that to a, like, a 30-year-old man? You start breaking him down like a shotgun. Man walked away with a toy. Sin is the same way. You that 2-year-old pulling from God. God, there's some toys over there I want to get to. See, you didn't think I was going there, huh? Gotcha. That's some toys. She look good. There's some toys. He look good. There's some toys over there that I want to get to. And see, but God is a good father. He said you can see them, but you can't play with them.
That's right. Amen.
Because not every toy you see is meant for you to play with.
Come on.
But these things are clearly understood because you see them, right? You see them. You're not blind to them. You see them. You see God in your life. You see the things that he has done. He is the only one who kept you when nothing else would keep you. He's the one who made sure that the bullet didn't hit you. He's the one that made sure that when the car overturned that you didn't get flung out a window. He's the one that made sure that the burglar wasn't able to open the window when he was trying to get in your house. He was the one who made sure that the fight that you didn't die in the fight that you fought.
The only one.
He's the one who looked out for you when you ain't had sense enough to look out for yourself.
Amen.
These things are clearly seen. You didn't win the fight. You just survived it. You didn't earn the car. Your daddy gave it to you. God's grace towards us is shown through his son, Jesus Christ. There is no excuse for your ignorance. Even now, as you sit under the sound of my voice, you've heard the gospel message. Jesus died for your sins so that you would not have to suffer the wrath of God. Jesus lives a sinless life so that he can make a way for you, so that you won't have to suffer the wrath of God. What is the wrath of God? The wrath of God at the end of the day is a loveless hell.
My Lord.
Why would you live this life that seems like hell only to die and go to hell? You put up with all the things that you put up with in this life, and you ask yourself, there's got to be something better. There's got to be something more. You're sitting at home crying out your eyes, where do I go from here? Jesus has already made a way for you.
Hallelujah.
He's already told you all you have to do is believe in your heart.
Amen.
Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will not receive the wrath of God. We just kind. The writer of the gospel is just kind. He says you will be saved. Oftentimes people come across us, and if they want to play games with us, they'll say, saved? Saved from what? And then you find yourself saying, the reason why you find yourself stumbling and rumbling and bumbling for words, because the fact of the matter is that there are parts, just like there are white keys on the keyboard, there are some black keys on the keyboard. Not all the keys get played at the same time.
Amen.
But some keys ought to be played so that you might understand that there's a difference. There's a difference between the love of God and there's a difference between the wrath of God.
Amen.
What will you choose today?
Yeah.
The time for a decision has come. I have really no more to give you today. The word of God has gone forward. It is doing those things that God has purposed them to do.